Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 21, Qualities of Sri Krishna. Page 41. Srila Jiva Goswami. In the case of Indra, the word aparijata means devoid of the parijata tree. In the case of Yudhishthira, aparijata means without any enemies. Why is Shukam declined in the feminine singular? Amar Kosh says that Ata Trishu Dravye Papam Punya Shukadi Cha. Such words as Papa, Punya, and Shuka should be declined in the singular in all genders. Sukam can be used as a verbal modifier, as in the following example. Sukam aham ashvapsam. I slept happily. Thus, in this verse, it agrees with the noun it modifies, satyam and krishnam, and is declined in the feminine singular. Also, it can be understood to have the meaning possessing happiness, shuka mati, as per arshadibhyo. Panini 5.2.127, footnote 7. According to this sutra, A can be added to certain words giving the sense of possessing. Right. So you have aparijata, so it brings in the sense of possession. Because you say parijata, it just means the tree. You say aparijata, now it brings in that sense of possession. It means you don't have a parijata tree. Does that make sense? Because it's not that you have parijata and then you're going to bring it into some possessive things and then say you don't have it. Just by bringing in the ah, so that must be some element that it brings in the feminine aspect. Because someone would say, how is it that just saying ah parijata means no parijata tree? Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. I say, by our previous discussion, if one has a previous samskaras of a concept of actual, logical grammar, then these start to make more sense. If one doesn't, then it makes less sense. 2.197. An example of being true to perpetual vows. O Krishna, you vowed that your devotee will never suffer. You have illustrated that by performing the difficult task of lifting Govardhan Hill. Srila Prabhupada. The promise of Krishna that his devotees are never vanquished had also previously been admitted by Indra when he was defeated in the Govardhan Leela. When Krishna stopped the villagers of Vraja, Vrindavan, from worshipping Indra, Indra became angry and therefore inundated Vrindavan with continuous rain. Krishna, however, protected all of the citizens and animals of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill, which served as an umbrella. After the incident was over, Indra surrendered to Krishna with many prayers, in which he admitted, by your lifting Govardhan Hill and protecting the citizens of Vrindavan, you have kept your promise that your devotees are never to be vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami. The difference between Satya Niyama and Pratigya is that Satya Niyama is a constant vow, whereas Pratigya is an occasional promise. This verse is the statement of Indra. Right, so it's always a point, rather than you have a determination and now you're going to do something like that. True to promises and to his, okay, Surid. So this was the aspect, person who is true to his promises and to his perpetual vows is called fixed. Right, so he makes a promise, he says he's going to do something, it happens. So it's dealing with the immediate. But it will happen with Krishna. But he has perpetual vows. Also, means he says, I will protect the devotees. He's always doing that. Like that. So then this was, that was, yes, dealing with both of those aspects. 2.198. Desha kala supatragya tat tad yogya kriya kritihi. The knower of place, time, and person is one who performs actions suitable to the time, place, and person. Right, so you know them, but how you know, the knower of knowing is one who can apply. Right, so that's the difficulty that comes up, is if you know, actual by definition, that you have, you've memorized the facts, that's not actually a knower. Someone who knows how to take those facts and apply them, that's a knower. Right, that's what means someone who's realized, or the munis, or the rishis. So then the difficulty comes down. We were saying about Brahman being the knower. That means then there has to be application. That means there has to be a field to apply that. And in the condition of the Maya bodies, there is only Brahman. Right? There isn't anything else. So there can't be any object, because as soon as there's object, then they say, then you're making the differentiator and all these. So their whole understanding of Brahman falls apart. Mm. You understand? So that's where this element comes from.
All right. Can you say that, for example, in the academic study, we don't need to apply? In the academic study, we don't need to apply.
In the modern context. Yes, that's the whole point. That's just like before, is that you went, you studied things, but let's say, before it would have been, the general was a bachelor's degree.
Yes.
You know, in arts. Right? That was the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So, because in there, it's not a matter you had to apply. Like, let's say you had a bachelor's in, you know, in Greek literature.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to apply it. It's just that you studied it, you appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the whole point, because then when you sit with other gentlemen, it can be a point of conversation.
Yes.
You're discussing something and you say, oh yes, just like, you know, whatever it is, this guy, you know, Diogenes at his barrel. You know, you could bring that up and then everybody would know what you're talking about. So the previous idea was it was a position for social interaction.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't considered an occupational context.
Yes.
It was something that made you a gentleman.
Yes.
You know, so you study these various things and you know, so that all gentlemen had a common grounds to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, but with time, and the occupation was after that, right? First become a gentleman, then get an occupation.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, if you weren't going to become a gentleman, you could get an occupation now.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to be a gentleman to get a regular occupation. You want to be a carpenter or anything like this. Mm-hmm. You just start that from when you're 5-6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then by the time it's ready to get married, you're already a master craftsman, and so you can run your shop, work with others, maintain your family. You're done. You're good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going this line of educated person, that means first you become a gentleman. Then you have an occupation fit for a gentleman. Right? So that would be, you know, applying all these, you know, more technical, intellectual things rather than just skills. Right? And so previously it worked like that. But then with time we see they're bringing down that before it was the postgraduate was the occupational. The undergraduate was the cultural. But then as they come down, they're trying to make it the undergraduate is the occupational. And then the problem is the undergraduate also it's just knowledge. It doesn't have any application. So unless you're specialized in something that is a technical point, but then how much of it they actually technically apply. You know, a few branches it's more practical. You know, like medicine or something. Medicine, law, they're a little more practical. But the other branches is less, yes.
Medicine, undergraduate, you learn actually nothing for practical application.
Okay, so it's only an internship that you actually learn to apply it.
But you can only become a compounder, not even a doctor by undergraduate study of medicine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
If you're a doctor, then you have to at least have a doctorate degree.
Okay.
And master's degree.
Yeah, so the difficulty bringing these down, so it is mostly just knowledge, unapplied knowledge.
Yes.
And especially nowadays, the arts, then, you know, it really is unapplied. So it becomes difficult. So this whole point of being an educated gentleman actually is, there is no common ground anymore. So then how do you hold together society unless there's common ground? So that's for us, is that we're studying the same things, we're practicing the same. You know, we're studying the Vedic literatures, you know, under Srila Prabhupada's guidance. We're practicing those instructions. So therefore we have common lifestyle, common knowledge, common experiences. You know, it's like devotees from different parts of the world get together, tell Sankirtan stories, so that they can all relate because there's something common. You know, Brahmacharis talk about, you know, feasts. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, it's all the same thing. You know, like that. So there's something common. So that's the idea of the Vedic, is you have this common ground. But in the modern, it's going, what is the common ground? You know, they've all went to school, okay. But then after that, then it doesn't really have a common ground.
Discussing issues is the common ground.
Issues, okay. But then the problem comes is then so many issues, and which issue are, you know, and how do you stand on that issue exactly? Because they try to make it so much individualized, but at the same time as they lose the community for the individual and lose the individual for the community. So they're unable to balance that. So only the Vedic can actually balance these things. Like that. Jiva Goswami, the suitability of time and place is based on the suitable person. Right? So nor of time, place, and person. Right? Because generally we'll say time, place, and circumstance. Right? So circumstance means you in that position. Because if it's not about you in the position, what do you have to do with it? You know, you're talking time, place, and circumstance. Great. What are you in this? Right? Because it's applying to you. Otherwise, time and place, I can talk about other things. But circumstance means then who's involved, the person. Yes?
Without the person involved, the circumstance becomes the place itself.
Okay. Yeah, good point. Good point. Here, the suitability of the person, supatra, is specifically mentioned to show that it is the major element. Right? So time, place, and circumstance. We won't have any time and place. No, it's the person is the major element. And these other two are then what that person can, how he can work in that. Like in the time and place, how the person can work. Right? Because you change the person, you change what can be done. You know? So that sense. Because if the persons are unqualified, then place and time are of little value. Thus the word supatra is used instead of patra, to emphasize the importance of qualification of the candidate, right? So Rupa Goswami is using this. You say patra, but people may not use it properly. So he put supatra to put that emphasis on that, that it's about the suitability of the candidate. Mm-hmm. Only one quality is mentioned, su, well qualified. But this indicates all qualities which make the candidate suitable, right? So if you say well qualified, means whatever the qualifications are for that particular application, that time and place. Like that. One should also understand that the expert person will understand all the qualities of place and time which may make them suitable. Right? They're suitable because they understand all the qualities of time and place. Otherwise, if they only understand some, then they're not supatra. They're only patra. Right?
So I don't know if it's just the problem of the translation of the words, because like originally it means person, or it's patra or shakti. And this.
I mean, it's the place, it's the person in the situation, it's not just the person. It means this person in this time and place, that creates circumstance. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're sitting in the living room. No one else is there in the house. You know what I'm saying? You can, you know, dress how you want, sit how you want, you know, do whatever you want, you know, as long as you don't leave any permanent indications of that, you know. That makes sense. You know, catch up on the couch or is not going to, that's a problem. Yeah, you stand so you can do whatever you want, but now if you bring another person into the room, you change how you have to deal. It's still the same place, it's still the same time. But now it's about that person. So that's the difficulty, is that in the modern, I mean, at least in, I've seen in the you know, the English, you know, the Anglo-Saxon context, is that circumstance means the situation that you happen to be in, but it's how the situation is controlling you. Oh, the circumstance, I couldn't do otherwise. You know, that's what could I do? So time, place, and circumstances. But it's, you know, the modern time, place, and circumstances. We can't do all these, you know, devotional, you know, Vedic kind of stuff because, we're not in control of it, you know. Yeah. At the same time, you ask about something else and they're in total control. You know what I'm saying? So it's used as an excuse to avoid proper application, qualified application. But the Vedic, we see Rupa Goswami is putting the emphasis on the person that in time and place that makes it the circumstance. That's the thing. And because they're qualified, Su means all elements of time and place, they understand. That's why they can apply it. Does that make sense? So like say someone knows cooking, but they know all varieties of cooking for the different, you know, times of the day, the different circumstances, the different places that they're in, the different people that might be eating, and all the different arrangements like that. That's then Supatra. Because depending on what it is, they know how to cook. Yeah. Kids are hungry, they do this. Some friends just drop in unannounced, they know what to do. It's a, you know, the, it's how you say, relatives are coming over for dinner, they know what to do. So all these things, it's about them and how to deal with time, place, and certain. Otherwise, yes, they'll know if the situation is just like this, they can do something. But if it's anything more, they won't know. So with Krishna, naturally, he's going to be Supatra. Does that make sense?
So based on improper education, we always try to depersonalize.
Yes. That's why the mantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, we're thinking, oh, that's just Mayavadis in Varanasi. No, it means if you're not following, one, the Vedic in general, and Vaishnava in specific, you are an some kind of impersonalist or voidist. Guaranteed. Like that. There may be touches of other things, but it won't be solid. Because if you keep scratching, then you'll get to the impersonal. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is it always goes back. But it should be personal, then you throw it into the impersonal. You know. So it's not about you're in a situation, but this is how the situation has to work. No, but that guy over there is this, so it changes it all. So you don't get what you're supposed to get. Or, you know, it's about, how you say, yeah, oh, worked both ways. It means it's always that, depending upon which is better for you, you'll use the group or you'll use the individual to whatever wins your argument. But it's just a technique. It's not about the individual. It's not about the group. So even when we're talking group, that's still more personal than just nothingness. So. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is that if we look at it, everything other than Vaishnavism is working on these principles. It's impersonal to their benefit. Because even if you say you're a personalist or you're a religious person or you're a theist, but why? Being God conscious, what should happen to you?
Progress.
Yeah, you'll make progress. You'll have better facility. Things go nicer for you than the guy who's the rat bag next door, who somehow or another has so much money and is always having parties and a good time. You know? But we can, you know, sit back in confidence that, you know, after this body, then he'll be rotting in hell and we'll be in heaven then.
On that side.
Yeah, so that's why I'm impressed that the water's coming out there. So,
Maharaj, if we are practicing mixed devotional service, maybe there is a personality.
Yes, like that. Because the main point is this, because mixed devotional service means a devotional service. It's not that you have the material mixed with devotional service, you have devotional service mixed with the material.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Means if one doesn't have faith, then it's devotional service is mixed with the material.
Yes.
With the karma gyan, that's why they function.
Yes.
But for the devotee, once they have faith, it's devotional service, but due to attachment there's still some material element that's there that becomes an obstacle. Right? So that's what's having to be addressed. So then Krishna is able to remove all those things.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he is the most suitable person.
In this case of timeless circumstance, it's only for the Vaishnavas, they have a particular goal which is unchanging, which is to please Krishna under all circumstances. That's why we can use the time and place according to the person and perform an activity to get that desired effect.
Mm-hmm.
But for everybody else, it's for their own whims, which is not in reality exists, because it is only the matter which is actually keeping changing with along with time and place.
Mm-hmm.
That's why then in time, place, circumstance always keeps changing. That's why we cannot relate from one to another time, place, circumstance.
Yes, it's because it's also you have a particular way of enjoying.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when you have to make adjustments based on that, for you it's a problem. And so we'll see as obstacles and this and that. Because here you'll see is that how the word was used here. Your devotee will never suffer. And then here Indra's saying your devotees will never be vanquished. Right? So the point is that suffering will come from the view that you're not enjoying. Like I'll say I'm enjoying or I'm suffering. But it's from your perspective. But if you're performing an activity and there's some obstacle to it, if there's a higher purpose to it, that difficulty of dealing with it, that's not seen as suffering. That's just dealing with the obstacle until it's removed, so you're never vanquished. Right? And because it's about Krishna, you don't actually suffer. Does that make sense? You know, because you see it in that context. So it's just the when it's about focused on Krishna, central on Krishna, then everything becomes very clear, straightforward, and everything. So you see, as soon as you start getting to the material, then it becomes very muddled, like we're seeing with these other philosophies. They're very muddled, like that. Even though they may be intellectually very well constructed, but they're still, you know, they're based on that muddlement, so they're always going to have a problem. You know, in some portions it'll be quite nice, and then at one point it'll fall apart. But because it's always focused on Krishna. So they've done it, it's always focused on themselves, but that's why they enjoy or suffer. But if it's focused on Krishna, it's not about enjoyment or suffering. You're always on the transcendental platform. So that already is above, that platform is already above any material happiness or distress there is. Then you have ananda, because Krishna's happy, you become happy. But it's not the happiness of having removed a problem for yourself. It's the happiness of pleasing Krishna. You know what I'm saying? And because it's about that interaction, then the constant activity to do something, to remove something, is always there. Because if you go to do the activity, it's right there. Then it's not as exciting. You know what I'm saying? So it's about going through that. So at all points, you're engaging everything in Krishna's service. So you're removing the various, going through the different steps in whatever it is. So that's so nice because it's done for Krishna. That's eternally done. You're eternally engaged in activities connected to Krishna. And so that engagement means there's always going to be something that has to be adjusted, something that has to be improved. Does that make sense? So you always have that aspect. But On our platform, we see it as a problem because we want to do something and finish and sit back and relax. But for the devotees, because doing those things for Krishna is nice, you just keep on doing those. So that's the point. If it's about the primary, it's always on the primary. The secondary is there to support. But if we're taking the secondary as the main, then I want to use them for enjoyment. And if I'm getting enjoyment, it's good. And if I'm not getting enjoyment, it's bad. But if it's about pleasing Krishna, then I will use all the different circumstances to please. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just, it always increases these things. You know, it's just like, let's say, you know, there's some occasion, okay? And the, you know, the person, you know, another person who's in would be naturally involved, you know, staying in the same house. So that they remember the occasion, that's a big occasion, right? So they remember the occasion, so then, you know, that's nice. Now, if they remember the occasion came from the other side of town and all that, and, you know, it's Los Angeles and it's rush hour and, you know, stuff like that, so then, you know, it has more meaning. What happens if they live on the other side of the country or the in another country and they came there for the occasion? It just increases. So the more the obstacles to be removed, the greater the... But it's not about that. It's about the attitude that's there, because the effect is the same. They're standing there, so the effect is the same. But it adds a layer of attitude. So that's why this aspect of that there'll be obstacles, and then in each of these obstacles, it gives a unique way. You know, this time, place, and circumstance, how to resolve that. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Something special, something different.
Yes, yes.
So otherwise, if it's always the same, we'll say it's boring. You know? So the variety, that's what then creates the taste. Because, and but in that variety means it's changing situations that you're going to have to deal with according to your qualification. And then it gives rise to different situations. Different devotees have different qualifications. And so in one situation, one devotee will be prominent. In another situation, another one will be prominent. Therefore, it's not always the same person doing everything.
Yes.
Is that something? So then different devotees come up. Because Radha and Krishna are the complete energy and energetic. That means everybody else is their expansions. So then it's a matter of they themselves can experience everything, but everybody else combined then adds to that. It adds more to it. Someone brings out this, someone brings out that. Does that make sense?
Tomorrow, this is a spiritual adventure.
Yeah, every moment's a, you know, a festival. You know, everything's new, it's like that, fresh. Yeah, so that's the whole point. So that's the mistake that comes up the aspect of what is your service, right? So that the point is there's a specific service, but that's when that comes up, that's where you'll be prominent, because that's where you fit into that. But everything else, you're always assisting. And even you're doing that service as assistance, but you may be more prominent. But it's not that that's the only thing you do. Means you assist in all the other activities that are there, that wide range of activities. But then certain activities, then you may be more prominent in. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like everyone has the different things they can do and all that, but then let's say the cooks. You're cooking on a daily thing, you're cooking for the deities, anybody can cook anything. You know, you rotate and everybody, you have the same basic menu and everybody cooks. But let's say on a festival, then you're going to choose the one who's excellent in that thing. He'll do that preparation, even though everybody can cook it. You know what I'm saying? Because it just stands out that little bit more. So in that case, then it comes up. But otherwise, you're always serving. Does that make sense? So the attitude of service is the main. Yes.
Maharaj, so do they have obstacles in performing devotional service in Vaikuntha because it's without an anxiety?
Vaikuntha, maybe not. You know, but there they're enjoying the liberated state, while in Goloka there is. You know, like that. So you know, how exactly though Vaikuntha elements, you know, it means you're at home, you have to get to the palace. So that you have to do. Of course you go in your Swan airplane. You know. Like that. But I wonder if there's a problem. Where they all park?
They just fly.
Okay. Oh, you just, but what if everybody comes at once? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that's the thing, there's no time and space, so it's not a problem. But there it's about the grandness of it and that. So they'll be always trying to make it grand. Even though everything there is all facility, but still they're making that endeavor to make it very majestic and very special. So at every moment it will be. But it'll be on that, but it won't have as much taste as the sweetness aspect. Like that. Though it's still unlimited. That's the thing, is you have unlimited perfection, but it can still get better. Now, then you'll have Goloka, but it can still get better than you have Gokul. And then even those things that you wouldn't do in Goloka, like killing the demons or that, they're happening you know, in the Bauma Lila. So then, but everything's eternal, so it'll be referred to. Right? Because no one's going to forget. Right? Is that? Yes.
In the Bhagavatam, it was written that it was a comparison between Lakshmi Devi's devotion and the Prahlad. And it was written that you can't be imagined by devotion of Lakshmi Devi because she is eternal potency, but Prahlad, in spite of his jiva, his devotion is very amazing because in so many obstacles he was devoted to Lord Vishnu. Does it mean, at first I thought that it means here we compare internal potency and jiva shakti. But Srimati Radharani is also internal potency. But her devotion also is amazing, more amazing than.
Yes. See, the thing is that you can't compare because she is the energy that is arranging everything. So these things come up outside of their control. And they deal with them and always apply them to Krishna. Right? So Prahlad Maharaj. Plus you have the thing of you can't compare it because we're not in that position. We can relate to Prahlad Maharaj. So that's our position. Right, so it's just two different categories. So you don't have to look at it from that. But even you're looking at it, you're looking at the feminine nature. Even if there is everything's running perfectly, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing that actually needs to go wrong. The feminine nature won't make something go wrong. She won't get grumpy over nothing just so that there's something to do. Right? Yeah, so the more you're dealing with sweetness, the more that can be shown. The more you're dealing with majesty, the less that'll be shown. So in Lakshmi, it'll be there, but very slight. You know, she just said, oh, let's do this, let's do that. So the devotees reply to one thing like this, and it changes. So the devotees just go with it, and it works perfectly. So the variety is being created. But it won't have the intensity that it will in Vrindavan.
Means that Prahlad more dear to Lord Krishna than Lakshmi, because not because of his jiva shakti, but because he was in a difficult situation.
That's there, but it just depends how you're using that. Because the point is that Lakshmi is non-different from Narayan, so in that way you can't really compare. But when the Shastra says that Prahlad Maharaj is more dear than Lakshmi, Brahma, or Shiva, they're meaning their position. Just because she is, you know, in the position of Lakshmi, that's not what makes dear. It's the devotion. Or Brahma, the position doesn't impress him. Therefore, Shiva doesn't impress him. Right? Because he is the origin of all of this. But the devotion they have, that does. That's why you'll see Lakshmi is the greatest devotee, or Brahma or Shiva, like this. It's as devotees, then that's where it goes. So you have to know which context is being discussed here. Is it about the devotion, or is it about the position? Does that make sense? Because sometimes you see is that Rukmini Devi's position, then it's Krishna is aloof. But then Rukmini's devotion, then that he's controlled by. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you always have to differentiate how it's being used. One should also understand that the expert person will understand all the qualities of place and time which make them suitable.
Mm-hmm.
2.1.19. So everything's always interconnected. But you have to be... You define something by starting at one place and seeing the connection there. If you move over and start at that next place, then it has a different context.
Yes.
That's why it's a different word.
Yes.
So when the acharyas are using synonyms, but they're talking about the same thing. They're talking about different aspects of the same thing. That's called vichar.
Yes.
Okay. 2.1.99. There's no time compared to the autumn season in the moonlight. There's no place of amusement equal to Vrindavan in the three worlds. There are no lotus-eyed women like the young women of Raja. Considering this, my heart longs for the taste of the rasa dance. Srila Prabhupada, expert judge of time and circumstance. Krishna is very expert in dealing with people according to circumstances, country, time, and paraphernalia. How he could take advantage of a particular time, circumstance, and person is expressed by him while talking to Uddhava about his rasa dance with the gopis. He says, the most opportune time is the full moon night in autumn, like tonight.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that was... Today's Thursday. Yeah, two days ago. Yeah. The best place within the universe is Vrindavan. And the most beautiful girls are the gopis. So my dear friend Uddhava, I think I should now take advantage of all these circumstances and engage myself in the rasa dance. Right? So all these together, you put that all together, that makes your circumstances. But the point is I think I should now take advantage. Because if you can't deal in it, then you're not part of the thing. So the time, place, circumstance doesn't apply to you. So that's why you see Rupa Goswami is pointing out it's the person that's the most important. So all these things, the paraphernalia, these are all part of the circumstances. You know, the particular uniqueness, you know, of the place and all that, therefore what's available, you know, what's available from that time, all that goes together to create the circumstance. So many times. Srila Jiva Goswami. This verse illustrates how Krishna is expert at judging suitable time, place, and person for the rasa dance. The statement occurs in a discussion when Krishna speaks to Uddhava in Mathura. 2.1.100. A person with, quote, the eyes of scripture is the person who performs his actions according to the rules of scripture. 2.1.101. So again, very important. Acting according to scripture 101, right? The eyes of scripture which belong to Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, exist only to see the practical action in a given situation. And his lotus eyes exist only to bewilder the young women. Srila Prabhupada. Seer by the authority of scriptures. A person who acts exactly according to the tenets of scripture is called Shastra Chakshus. Shastra Chakshus means one who sees through the eyes of the authorized scriptures, right? So that should be the effect if you go through a course on Shastra Chakshus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should be able to do. That's the purpose of it. Actually, any man of knowledge and experience should see everything through these books. For example, with our naked eye, we perceive the sun globe simply as some glaring substance. But when we see through authorized books of science and other literature, we can understand how much greater the sun globe is than this earth and how powerful it is. So seeing things through the naked eye is not actually seeing. Seeing things through the authorized books or authorized teachers is the correct way to see. So although Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and can see all that is past, present, and future, to teach the people in general, he used to always refer to the scriptures. For example, in Bhagavad Gita, although Krishna was speaking as the Supreme Authority, he still mentioned and quoted Vedanta Sutra as authority. Footnote 8. That knowledge of the field of activities and the knower of activities is described by various sages in various Vedic writings. It is especially mentioned in Vedanta Sutra with all reasoning as to cause and effect. Bhagavad Gita 13.5. There is a statement in Srimad Bhagavatam wherein a person jokingly says that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, is known as the seer through the Shastras. In order to establish his authority, however, he is now engaged in seeing the gopis, whereby the gopis are becoming maddened. Right? So it says, they're talking about, they're using it in one way. They're using this thing where they're changing the context. Mm-hmm. It's having this point. They're talking about how he does everything according to scripture. But now, according to scripture, that's also the best time for the rasa dance. So now he's engaged in the rasa dance with the gopis. Right? But it's also, he's seeing them, they're seeing him. So that whole point is because he's the goal of the scriptures. That makes sense. So they just change the context in that to give it a poetic meaning. It doesn't mean that the technical is lost. It just means the poetic's much more taste. Okay. So, yes.
Well, as I understand, in this verse, actually it points to that the eyes of the scripture is as Krishna sees them.
Yes. It's how Krishna sees. That's what scriptures then are describing. And then Krishna acts that way. One, it's the way he likes to act. And two, if he acts that way, then it will establish things. So, therefore, we don't necessarily, even though the pastimes are unlimited, we only see a specific variety of manifestation of his pastimes at one particular manifestation. Right? It means that he's come in this 5,000 years ago, did certain pastimes. But these pastimes are unlimited. They have unlimited variety. So what's going on there, that will be according to these aspects of Shastra. You know, in another millennia, it'll be, again, but there might be some other aspects that he takes. Does that make sense? But in the spiritual world, you're not focusing on that it's from Shastra, it's just what pleases Krishna. But because we don't know what pleases Krishna, therefore the Vedas are there to describe. The Vedas are eternal, they're always there. Because what Krishna means, the scriptures are also there. Right? Because it's like that. But we're able to start to appreciate and see through that because we don't know Krishna. So we try to bring our seeing in line with what Krishna's seeing. And if our seeing is in line with what Krishna sees, then the opportunities for engagement are the same. But if we see differently than Krishna, then what are we going to do? Right? Mother Jashoda has brought out Shukta Shakari Bhaji Naldita Krishmanda and all that. Okay? Now, if we're seeing how Krishna sees, then we're going to be very happy at how Mother Jashoda has made all these things in devotion. Mm-hmm. And then Krishna is sitting with the elders and his cowherd friends, mm-hmm. and they're being served, and it's going on nicely, and they're having very pleasant discussions, and, you know, so many things are happening. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, let's say we're not seeing things how Krishna sees it. So then it's like, oh, all those samosas, you know, you're going to kill Krishna like that. Don't you know that's bad for you? Look at all these sweets and all that, and that, you know, come on, this is a daily thing, you know, we gotta make some adjustments here. Then, you know, starting from Mother Jashoda on down, they're all going to show you the door. You know, and they'll put a guard there to make sure you never get in the house again, eternally. Right? It is, you know what I'm saying? So that's why it's that you have to see the way Krishna sees. So you have to, your values have to be based on how Krishna sees, but your values based on something else. You know, you have a bad liver, but Krishna doesn't have a bad liver. So then, you know, why are you making this point? You understand? So that's the whole thing, is that we have to be able to see how Krishna. So you say, oh, this is a nice arrangement for the devotees, but unfortunately, I can't on it. I'll take something else. You know? Like that. But this whole thing, because you can't eat it, nobody should eat it, it's kind of like, what's that got to do with the reality? You can't eat grass either. Does that mean we should stop all the cows? You know? You know, you could say, no, but it's organic, it's very healthy. But how is it healthy? It's so much fiber and all that, for us it's indigestible. Right? It means if you eat grass, and only grass, you will die. Like that. Does that make sense? The guy that got that Nobel Prize for, you know, dressing up like a goat and living like a goat for 3 days and eating grass, he only did it for 3 days. Right? So, you know,
he got a Nobel Prize,
believe it or not. Dressed up like a goat, you know, put on the things, walked around on all four, had to get down on the ground, and, you know, he's eating grass, and it's like... Yeah. You know, so if goats do that, they could have just given it to the goats. Oh, I guess he was saying, I'll be the goat, right?
In the next life.
Oh, that, of course. But it's prestigious to be the goat this life.
You won't get the Nobel Prize the next life.
No, yeah, next life you won't get it. All the goats are like, who's that? And they have to move over a bit while this guy comes up, you know. Yeah. So, you can't. It's got too much... It's indigestible to us. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point comes down is then. But it's fine for them because they can digest it. So Krishna doesn't have a problem, you know. So all this, so that's why we cook for him, because he likes it. But yeah, so if we see like that, then that's the thing we see through scriptures. When we see how that is there, and then yeah, Ayurveda says this, but that's for you. You know. Don't say it's everybody.
We are not God.
Yeah, we're not God.
We're not.
You have to come to the first period class for that one. This class is about serving God, and the first period is about how we're not God.
Oh.
So you have to choose your class.
Okay. Is it right is when we say Shastra Shekstu to understand the principles who are moving the Shastra? How to please Krishna. Because without understanding the principle, we can
yes.
get something here, something
Yes,
there.
Yes, so that's why we have to hear from authority. So it's, you have, as describing, is that it's, you have the scriptures, then you're going to have the commentaries of the acharyas, mm-hmm. and then their example mm-hmm. and instruction, and that's how then we're going to apply it. But even we have all that, we can't, it's only with their blessings you can use it. That has to be understood. That's why it says, you know, by that surrender to the guru and the lotus feet our spiritual master, the only way by which we can, you know, cross this material existence, how we gain knowledge, how we gain understanding, everything is because without their blessings, it doesn't happen. Even you sit, you study, you have good academic, you know, ability, sit down, read these, you have good memory, you can memorize everything, but it doesn't mean you can apply it and realize it. So we see as after Lord Chaitanya had spoke to Sanatana Goswami, all his instructions, at the end he asked that you bless me that I may be able to understand, you know, be able to, utilize these and realize these. And probably makes a point, it's a separate thing. Because otherwise we may take it for granted, I'm studying the books, I know so much. Because otherwise you have sometimes those who are very scholarly in the books, but when it comes to practical application, they can't. They'll bring out generally the most extreme application, you know, exclusive application in one situation when there are other rules also, but they can't put them together. They can't see them as a circumstance. They just see just one point. This rule here, okay, Manu says this, and that's all. What about all these other things? You know, like that. So that's the thing. You have to be able to see all that, you know. So that's why you see is what do you call it, Chota Haridas, right? So then you have the situation. So Lord Chaitanya is establishing something quite strongly, but then the effect of that is every day he comes and sings for Lord Chaitanya personally. No one else is even there, right? Like that wouldn't be our solution for this problem. Our solution would be they'd never come in contact with anything ever again. That's not Lord Chaitanya's. But at the same time, is then when the question of that came up in 75, then Prabhupada pointed out, you know, he's not Chota Haridas and I'm not Lord Chaitanya. So therefore, you know, get it together and do your service. So that's the whole thing, is that you have to be able to see how that is applied. The point is, it's making a strong point that you know what the standard is, but at the same time is how you're going to apply that. That'll have specific application. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you say that this is the definition of the guru in Bhagavad Gita? The guru must see the truth.
Yes.
So he says he must be applying.
Yes. So that's the point. It's whatever point, however much you have seen, that much you can be guru.
Yes.
So some will take that, oh, that means until they become self-realized, you know, until they're liberated, until they're, you know, pure devotees, until they're, you know, on the, you know, like this, until they're free from all material conditions. They'll do this whole long list that is applying to about 10 different categories of people, and then claim that this is the standard of one person in one place. So the problem is that it's no. It's what you see, because if it was as they said, then it would be only those persons who Prabhupada personally spoke to and preached to. They would be the only ones that became devotees, and no one else would be a devotee. But you have thousands and thousands of people as devotees because people on a level that doesn't, you know, is not up to our, you know, the level, standard of our personal understanding, you know, that scrutiny of, no, they have to be on this level, otherwise, you know, they can't function like that. It's working. But Rupa Goswami says you can't take someone past that. But the point is, you can take them up to that. You know what I'm saying? You know, someone's done a year of service, then you come to the temple. That means they've done a year more than you have. They can bring you to that year at this point. But the general tendency is by the time they get you to that year, they've done 2 years, so now they can bring you to 2 years. Right? It's a general. Or if you see that the person has, you know, so much agyata sukriti from past life, then they may very quickly, that year, what they've gotten to, they may get to that in some weeks or some months. And then there's going to be someone else who can take them further, because there's someone else who's done more service. So that's the whole point, is it's dynamic, it's always there. But when you see through scriptures, then you can apply it to others. If you can apply it to yourself, you can apply it to others. If you can't apply it to yourself, you can't apply it to others. No. Srila Jiva Goswami, this statement made by someone in a joking mood, to see what is practical, artha drishtaye, means to see the auspicious and inauspicious elements of a given situation. Right? So he's seen all this, and now he's engaged in dancing with the gopis. So it's not just an intellectual platform. Right? 2-1-102. Interesting. What if you could go through all the different chapters and sections, wherever you have 101, and then see those major points. There are two types of purity, pavana and vishuddha. Pavana means he who destroys sin, and vishuddha means he who is without faults. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, pure. There are two types of supreme purity. One type is possessed, one is able to deliver a sinful person. So the one is you are pure, the other is you can make others pure. When the other type is possessed, one does not do anything which is impure. A person who possesses either of these qualities is called supremely pure. Krishna is both. He can deliver all sinful conditioned souls, and at the same time, he never does anything by which he can be contaminated. Right? And by that grammatical rule of the feminine singular being added, then we can put that on this word and, you know, define our position, right? Yes. Yeah, right. Abhishuddha. Yeah. 2.1.1.3. Purification of sin, pavana, is this illustrated in the Padma Purana. Right, so one quality may have various aspects. And so Rupa Goswami is establishing the quality and establishing these various aspects. Right? So this is pavana. So one is purification of sin. With the intellect purified by faith and all sincerity, please intently worship Krishna, an ocean of good qualities, whose glory destroys all darkness, who purifies those who purify others. When just the semblance of his name appears in the heart, it destroys the greatest accumulation of sins. Just as the light prior to the rising of the sun destroys all darkness. Right? It's, before the sun comes up, it's light. It's just a slight little bit, it's fully light. So that's the whole point. When the holy name arises, then it destroys all this. Why? Because the holy name is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. In this connection, Vidura, while trying to detach his elder brother Dhritarashtra from his familial attachments, said, quote, "My dear brother, you just fix your mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, who is worshipped with beautiful erudite verses by great sages and saintly persons. Krishna is the Krishna is the supreme deliverer among all deliverers. Undoubtedly, there are great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, but their positions as deliverers depend always upon the mercy of Krishna." End quote. Therefore, Vidura advised his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to concentrate his mind and worship only Krishna. One simply chants the holy name of Krishna. This holy name will rise within one's heart like a powerful sun and will immediately dissipate all the darkness of ignorance. Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to therefore think always of Krishna, so that the volumes of contaminations due to sinful activities will be washed off immediately. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is addressed by Arjuna as Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram, Bhagavad Gita 10:12, the Supreme Pure. There are many other instances exhibiting Krishna's supreme purity. Srila Jiva Goswami. This is an instruction of Vidura to Dhritarashtra. One should understand the semblance of the name of the Lord, Nama Bhasa, from the following verse from the Padma Purana. Even chanting purely or impurely one name of the Lord completely, entering the ear and penetrating the mind, will certainly deliver a person. Like that. So the whole point is this, that purification, that is there just because the devotees are pure. The Lord's pure, the devotees are pure. But it's not that's the focus. The focus is on developing that love for Krishna. So therefore, it's about hearing the name, being absorbed in the name. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the main thing. Because otherwise you say, no, but unless you just, it's pure chanting, you won't get rid of the sin. No, that's not what it says. Because we're taking that getting rid of the sin is the big thing. But it's not the big thing. Developing love for Krishna, that's the big thing. Getting rid of sin, that's just, it happens anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like you eat lunch, you don't have to sit around and meditate on digestion. Right? It happens anyway. Right? Unless, of course, we go back to our previous discussion. Yeah. Like that. 2.1.104. Vishuddha, faultless, is illustrated as follows. O Shyamantaka Jewel, there is no deception in Krishna to try to take you from Satyajit, and there is plenty of miserliness in Satyajit to keep you. Then why do you desire so forcibly to make friendship with a Kastuba Jewel today? Right? So again, a poetic. Like that. Srila Jiva Goswami. This derisive statement made by Uddhava to Satyajit, derisive statement made by Uddhava to Satyajit. Amarkosh says, prasasbhas tu balak karo hata. Prasabha means force or violence, hata. Hata is in the masculine. Prabhasam here means with force or violence. According to the rule Arsha Dibyo, and that C is supposed to be a C and S. Or we don't even need it.
There was one of those in this morning too.
Yeah, yeah. And so I kind of just left it, but now that it's come up again, so now we're asking.
Is it a bioch?
Yeah.
Unless it's bioho or something. I don't know.
What? It could have been cha, but the
Oh, adishyo cha, and then that just went that way.
Yeah, and
just decided to. Okay.
It is strange that it happened this morning too, though.
Yeah. So you see, Uddhava is making the point, the Satyajit, that there's no Krishna is pure, so there's no deception in him trying to take you from Satyajit, right? And there's miserliness in Satyajit trying to keep you, right? So he's talking to the Shamataka jewel, and now he's addressing the Shamataka. There's no deceit in Krishna trying to take you, but there's miserliness in Satyajit trying to keep you. So why is it, since Krishna is pure and all this and that, you're making this whole very serious attempt to spend time with a Kastuba Jap? So he said this to Satyajit so that it's kind of like in the third person, so he can hear it and then meditate on that, though. Right? So cleverly it's said. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nityananda Gaura Vrindavan ki.